This is Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey from St. Philip Orthodox Church in Davie, Florida. Join us daily on the journey.
Welcome to the Daily Orthodox Scriptures 2020, and today, 290 of our journey through the Bible. We are reading through the Scriptures in 1 year, using the Orthodox Study Bible. I'm Father Alexis, and today is October 17. Our readings today are from Micah chapters 5 through 7, Psalm 89, Proverbs chapter 19, verses 13 through 18, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Before we begin, I wanted to mention two things, something about our choice of readings and something I recently discovered. First, a few people have been asking why I chose the books that we're reading and if there are any connections or relationships between the different books that we read each day. In terms of the reasoning, the object was to read something from the Old Testament and something from the New Testament each day. In addition, I thought it's always good to hear something from the Psalms and Proverbs. So, with that in mind, we have four readings every day. The Old Testament, not including Psalms and Proverbs, they were split into 365 similarly sized portions. Same with the New Testament. All of Proverbs and Psalms are done twice a year, so those two books are divided in that way. And this reading plan is also a suggestion given in the Orthodox Study Bible itself. There's really no relationship outside of the fact that they happen to land together. Sometimes as I read, I might see a connection between the readings, and I might mention it, but it's not purposefully done by me or anyone else. The second thing I wanted to mention is something I recently discovered. I know we're on day 290, and it's October, and it's kind of late to tell you all this, but I just realized it yesterday. There is an Orthodox Study Bible app. I found it in Apple's App Store, but have not seen it in the Android store that's called Google Play. Anyway, I installed it on my iPad. There's a section on the app called Reading Plans. And if you go there, they have a couple plans for reading the Bible in a year and one for reading the Bible in 2 years. In the first plan for reading the Bible in a year, you can choose a day, let's say day 290, and the reading there is the same set of readings that we are doing. It puts all the readings together so you don't have to search from one book to the next. It's pretty handy, and I wish I found this a long time ago, but you might find it handy and useful, so if you do, great. There's another Bible app called Olive Tree, which is very nice too. You can get the Orthodox Study Bible onto that app. They may or may not have the reading plans there. I'm not sure. But I know some people enjoy the Olive Tree app, and the Olive Tree app is available on both iOS as well as the Android platforms. Well, enough with the techie stuff. Today we will continue and conclude the book of Micah. We will begin with a passage read on the Feast of the Nativity of Christ. Let's begin. Micah, chapters 5 through 7. And you, O Bethlehem, house of Ephrathah, though you are fewest in number among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel. His goings forth were from the beginning, even from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the appointed time for her to give birth, and then the remnant of their brothers will return to the sons of Israel. And he shall stand and see, and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. And they will dwell in the glory of the name of the Lord their God. For now they will be magnified unto the ends of the earth, and she will have peace. For when the Assyrian comes into our land and goes up upon our country, then 7 shepherds and 8 attacks from men will be raised up against them. Then they will tend the Assyrian with a sword and the land of Nimrod in her trench. And he shall deliver you from the Assyrian should he come into your land, and should he come up over your borders. And the remnant of Jacob will be among the nations in the midst of many peoples, as dew falling from the Lord and as lambs in a field of grass, in order that none among the sons of men may assemble together nor resist. And the remnant of Jacob will be among the nations in the midst of many peoples, as a lion among the cattle in the forest, and as a young lion among a flock of sheep, which, whenever it passes through, seizes and carries off its prey, and there is none to rescue. But your hand will be exalted above those oppressing you, and all your enemies will be completely cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord, I shall utterly destroy your horses from your midst, and destroy your chariots. I shall utterly destroy the cities of your land, and demolish all your strongholds. And I shall drive away your sorceries out of your hands, and there shall be no soothsayers among you. I shall utterly destroy your carved images and the sacred pillars from your midst, and you will no longer worship the work of your hands. And I shall cut off your sacred groves from your midst and destroy your cities. And I shall exact vengeance on the nations with wrath and anger among those who did not heed. Now hear the word of the Lord. The Lord says, Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O mountains, the judgment of the Lord, and you valleys, the foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a case against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I grieved you? Answer me, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab plotted against you, and what answer Balaam the son of Beor gave to him from the reeds as far as to Gilgal, that the righteousness of the Lord might be known. How shall I come to understand the Lord and devote myself to the Most High God? Shall I reach him with burnt offerings, with year-old calves? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with a myriad of streams of oil? Should I give my firstborn for my ungodliness, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, or what does the Lord seek from you, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to be ready to walk with the Lord your God. The Lord's voice shall be proclaimed in the city, and he shall save those who fear his name. Hear, O tribe, who will put the city in order? For is there not a fire there, and the house of the lawless storing up lawless treasures with insolent unrighteousness? Will the lawless be justified by a balance scale or a bag of deceitful weights from which they accumulated their ungodly wealth? And those that dwelt in the city have spoken lies, and exalted themselves with their own mouth. Therefore I will begin to smite you. I will destroy you because of your sins. You shall eat, but not be satisfied, and there will be darkness upon you. And he will depart without being noticed, and you will not be rescued. And all who do escape will be given over to the sword. You will sow, but you will not reap. You will press olives, but you will not anoint yourself with oil. And you will make wine, but you will not drink any of it. And the statutes of my people will be utterly abolished. For you have kept the ordinances of Omri, and done all the works of the house of Ahab. You walked in their counsel, so that I should deliver you over to complete destruction, and make your inhabitants into a hissing, and you will bear the reproach of the peoples. Woe is me, for I have become like one harvesting stubble, like one gleaning small grapes after the vintage grapes are picked, but not finding for myself any cluster of first fruit to eat. Woe is me, O my soul, For the God-fearing man is perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among the men. They all lie in wait, even unto blood, and each one grievously oppresses his neighbor. They prepare their hands for evil. The prince demands a gift, and the judge speaks flattering words. It is the desire of their soul. Thus I shall take away their good things as the moth who eats away, and as one proceeding by the rule in the day of the watch. Alas, alas, the time of your vengeance is come. Now shall be their lamentation. Do not trust in friends, nor put your hope in those who govern. Beware of your wife, and do not tell her anything. For a son dishonors his father, a daughter will rise up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are all the people of his own house. But I will look to the Lord. I will wait for God my Savior, for my God will hear me. Do not rejoice over me, O my enemy, for though I have fallen, yet will I arise, because even if I should sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will endure the wrath of the Lord, for I sinned against him, until he pleads my cause, for he will execute my judgment and will bring me out into the light, and I will perceive his righteousness. And my enemy will see it, and he who says to me, "Where is the Lord your God?" will be clothed with shame, and my eyes will look upon him, and now he will be for trampling upon as mud in the streets. In the days when your bricks are being plastered, that day will be your destruction, and your ordinances will be abolished. In that day even your cities will be leveled to the ground and divided among the Assyrians. Your fortified cities will be divided from Tyre as far as the river of Syria. It will be a day of flood and chaos, and the land will become totally desolate together with those dwelling in it, because of the fruit of their practices. Shepherd your people with your staff, the sheep of your inheritance, those dwelling solitarily in the thicket in the midst of Carmel. They will feed in Bashan and in Gilead, as in days of old, and as in the days of your departure from the land of Egypt, you will see many wonders. The Gentiles will see and be ashamed of all their might. They will cover their mouth with their hands, and their ears will become deaf. They shall lick the dust like serpents crawling on the earth. They will be confounded in their confinement and be amazed at the Lord our God, and they will be afraid of you. Who is a God like you, removing wrongdoings and passing over the ungodliness of the remnant of his inheritance? He does not keep his anger as a witness, for he delights in mercy. He will return and have compassion on us. He will subdue our transgressions, and all our sins will be cast into the depths of the sea. You will give truthfulness to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, as you swore to our ancestors from days of old. Psalm 89. O Lord, you became a refuge to us in generation and generation, before the mountains were made, and before the earth and the world were formed, and from everlasting to everlasting you are. Do not let man be turned back to humiliation. And you said, "Return, you sons of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday, which passed, and like a watch in the night. Years shall be objects of contempt to them. In the morning let man pass by like grass. In the morning let him blossom and pass by. In the evening let him fall off, be dried up and withered. For we fainted in your wrath, and in your wrath we were troubled. You set our transgressions before you, our time in the light of your face. For all our days failed, and in your wrath we fainted. Our years were spent in thought like a spider. As for the days of our years, the span is 70 years, but if we stay strong, perhaps 80, and most of them are labor and pain. For meekness came upon us, and we shall be chastened. Who knows the power of your wrath, and who knows your anger because of your fear? So make known your right hand to us, that we may number our days, and our heart may be bound with wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and be entreated concerning your servants. We were filled with your mercy in the morning, and in all our days we greatly rejoiced and were glad. Gladden us in return for the days you humbled us, for the years we saw evil things. And behold your servants and your works, and guide their sons. And let the brightness of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. Proverbs chapter 19, verses 13 through 18. A son without discernment is a disgrace to his father, and vows paid from the wage of a prostitute are not pure. Fathers divide the house and property to their children, but a wife is suited to her husband by God. Cowardice possesses a weak man, and the soul of the idle man will be hungry. He who guards the commandment keeps his soul, but he who despises his ways shall perish. The one who has mercy on the poor lends to God, and he will repay him according to his gift. Instruct your son, for thus he shall be hopeful, but do not lift up your soul in arrogance. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Our reading today brings us to a portion of the scriptures that we hear at funerals, and in particular, St. Paul warns his readers, and us as well, that there are two types of grief, a grief with hope and one without hope. Jesus himself expresses this grief with hope, the type Paul encourages us to have. When Lazarus died, we read in the scriptures that Jesus wept. Certainly, Jesus experienced grief because of the death of his friend, but he also was aware of what was about to happen. But why grieve at all? Because death is painful, because someone that we love is with us no longer, because we are made for relationships, and that relationship has just changed in a significant way, because our hoped-for experiences with that person have changed. And why did Jesus grieve? Because beyond these other reasons, he sees that death itself is a great enemy and that human beings have suffered under its dominion. But it's because of this bad news that Jesus is good news. In fact, all of the best things in life are enjoyed because of the existence of the troubling things in life. St. Anthony the Great said, "We savor pleasure and joy to the degree to which we taste affliction. One does not drink with pleasure unless one is thirsty, nor eat with pleasure unless hungry, nor sleep soundly unless very drowsy, nor feel joy without grief beforehand. Likewise, we shall not enjoy eternal blessings unless we despise transient things." In a way, it's grief that allows joy to enter. It's because of the reality of death that the reality of Pascha is so joyful. So there's death, and there's grief because of it, but our grief is tempered and does not fall into despair because of the faith we have in the resurrection of Christ and the hope we have in our own. I'm Father Alexis, and remember, Christ is in our midst.
You've been listening to Daily Orthodox Scriptures with Father Alexis Corey. You can always find us at dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. That's dailyorthodoxscriptures.com. This has been a listener-supported presentation of Ancient Faith Radio.